is, well, he wouldn't listen to me anyway, but it has to stop. It is antithetical to what this country aspires to be, you know, despite our past around these issues. And people like Stephen Miller, who is should not be anywhere near the executive branch of this country, should be dismissed immediately. And, you know, Donald should maybe think about surrounding himself with people who have some modicum of compassion and empathy, which he won't, which is all the more reason for him not to be in the Oval Office.
We want to thank you so much for spending this hour. Mary Trump, niece of President Donald Trump, clinical psychologist, author of Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. That does it for the show. Stay safe, wear a mask.
Yes, indeed, and it's 8 a.m. and time to mind that gap while we bridge that gap, because girls are powerful. Stay tuned.
And so, you know, you brought up the Washington, D.C. football team, and they just recently announced that they're going to change their name and mascot after years of pressure to do so. What is the importance of making that change?
Hello, hello, the world, Portland, the galaxy, the heavens, and below. I don't mind. I'm Tammy, and you're listening to The Gap. On the line with me is Althea. Althea, how's it going?
Hello.
Do you mind that little comment?
No.
All right.
No, I don't. I mean, you could be in a second story building.
Duality. That's what I say. Duality. In the studio is Sonia. Sonia, how are you? Thank you for all of your hard work.
Oh, you're welcome. I am happy to do it. It was a little weird. I had y'all in my headphones without going over the air, so when Althea's voice, when I played that clip that we'll hear later, I thought that was just y'all talking.
Oh, sorry.
No.
It's okay.
Layers. Confusion.
Layers and confusion.
So you got a little pace.
And other words for just live radio or live anything.
Yeah.
Or just life, you know?
Live. Up to the moment. I call it right up to my eyeballs. If I'm living in the moment, I'm living right up to my eyeballs.
That's
not
a deep
seeing
one.
The surrounding
one,
stuff. Yeah, thank you. That's my own personal philosophy.
That's, I think, Althea-ism is what it's called.
Yeah. Here's what I will say. Althea-ism doesn't really roll off the tongue, unfortunately. Maybe not coming out with a book anytime soon, but hey, I'm giving out this wisdom for free.
You heard it. It's you got it, and you're giving it away for free.
Just take out that one consonant there. We can shift the stresses, and we could just call it atheism. Or is that taken already?
Sure. That's also taken. Dang it.
Oh.
There you go.
Do you ever feel like all the good sort of ideology religious names are already taken? Let's come up with something new. Why does it have to be an ism? We can get back on track. I'm sorry.
So this is really the hard-hitting stuff that we usually talk about here in The Gap. whether we're minding it or bridging it or minding it, it's there, and we are not going to squander it, because a gap is just a distance between getting closer. Right? That's how it works, right?
Oh, that's a Tammyism right there.
There you go. That I have chock full of, maybe too many.
Here's what I'm thinking. Just because, you know, we're kind of like coming out with so many, and I'm sure Sonia's got one in the burner. Let's start a Facebook page. Let's start making some, you know, little photos with the captions on them. You know what I mean? Let's get people sharing these memes.
I got
memes of our wisdom.
I do have one that I like to say, when you're right, you're not wrong. That's just factual.
And that is just
tautology is tautological.
Exactly. Put another way.
Speaking of psychological, that's a good segue. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. A lot of things have changed in this climate, and honestly, just within the last few weeks, in the last week. And last night, Agassi and I were talking about this program because we do a lot. It might not quite seem like it, but all of this is pre-rehearsed. This is nothing is off the cuff. This is no improv, absolutely word by word.
It's scripted.
Yeah.
And it was scripted for me to kind of talk over Tammy right there. It's in there. I wish I could show you, but obviously this is an audio medium.
And while we were talking yesterday, Althea, you know, you're slid through the feed, and you saw that indeed, actually, Trump is planning to ban TikTok, which, as you know, devotees of the shows would know that we are fans of TikTok. It is what it is. We aren't, you know, paid by them or anything, and, you know, not necessarily like, you know, TikTok famous or anything like that. But it is a really interesting platform, and a lot of things happen on that platform that you don't see on other ones like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or 4chan, maybe 4chan, but not on the more mainstream one. And we've covered a couple of instances like the shopping cart abandonment trend that was going on TikTok, where people, users of the app, were showed on the via the app how to basically just purchase a bunch of Make America Great Again merchandise and not pay for it by just leaving it in their shopping cart online and abandoning it, causing just all sorts of different like logistical issues for the vendor. And also, of course, more notoriously known, the Juneteenth rally that Trump wanted to hold. A bunch of people from the app just registered for the rally, and not a lot of people show up. And as you know, we're in an optical world, and the optics weren't good on that. But I would say, you know, I never say people win on things because it's, you know, everyone is still struggling. But I think that was a W for TikTok in that one. Okay, you got any opinions on that one?
Yeah, no, I would say so. It's not to characterize it all as a monolith. Like, TikTok has all kinds of different content on there. So, like, saying that people are, like, from the app, it's mostly, like, teenagers who are, like, interested in progressive politics and progressiveness. But the way that the app is structured, it means that there's, like, a different way for you to find out about stuff that you're not already following, which is pretty different from other apps. You know, like if you're on Facebook, unless you're searching for something in particular, your feed is really centered around who you're friends with, what you follow, and the same thing on Instagram. Peppered in with some ads about they're making, you know, well-educated guesses about what they think you might want to buy.
And Cambridge Analytica.
Sure. Well-educated guesses.
I wish
Zuckerberg would have used that phrasing. I feel like I should call him and tell him, no, there's no, we're not stealing your data. We're making an educated guess about what you want to buy. but on TikTok, there's something called the For You page. And really, for anyone who's posting content publicly, there is sort of like an egalitarian possibility for you to end up on somebody else's page where they're able to scroll. And then, like, it's sort of tailored to your interests, but it is sort of random. So there's, like, you know, people who go viral without meaning to, and that these kinds of trends that would take a lot of work and campaigning to try to, like, spread that kind of information on Instagram can happen a lot more organically on TikTok. And you might imagine that Trump isn't a fan of TikTok, given the way that it has mobilized folks against him.
And there is also
in these embarrassing ways.
It's not, but it's not all gumdrops and sugar drops and
right, both gummy and sugar drops.
Yeah, it's not all just, you know, that. It's, there's also you know, the data mining aspect of it, which I from a friend of mine that was telling me, they're like, basically if you ever download anything for free, they're mining your data. But there is something that is more extreme. I don't want to say extreme, but there is something a little extra, I guess, because it is a Chinese app, which is causing a lot, which is basically, I would say, where the administration is coming in and saying, well, the Chinese are mining your data, which I guess somehow was okay when Cambridge Analytica was doing it, but not okay. I don't understand, but...
Right.
Yeah, so it's, and so in a way, you know, there is a very distant conversation of people saying, well, this is election interference, but where were all these people in 2016? I want to know. Where was this? Anyways, that's my own rant. But officially yesterday, they signed a 45-day, that within 45 days, TikTok will be banned. But from our understanding, Althea, you're saying that it won't necessarily just be disappear. It would just make it harder for, well, impossible for bugs to be fixed. So eventually it'll just end up being super glitchy and no one's going to want it. Unless there was a caveat about if an American company buys it, then it can stay around. And also it was, and also Australia, too. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So... basically, the coming at it from a trying to censor social media perspective is probably not the way that they went for a reason. It's not likely to be successful, but they're coming at it from a national security perspective because TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance, and there have been claims about that you know, Americans' data is being mined and sold to Beijing for whatever you know, nefarious purpose that one might assign to that. So now this ban is basically to pressure TikTok to sell off its American assets to likely Microsoft, but it also might include more of like the English-speaking world, including like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, maybe other countries as well. Yeah, so it's interesting because the foundation for making that, it's an emergency economic executive order, and like the legal foundation for it is hold your horses, it's the same stuff that is used against like Russian oligarchs and like kleptocrats to keep Americans from doing business with them. So effectively, if I think it's September 15th, if TikTok doesn't sell it by September 15th, that's when basically all communication between like the owners of the app and the app assets in the US will kind of be severed. It will probably end up off the App Store if it doesn't get bought, and it'll eventually sort of just become unwieldy and obsolete because it will basically be unmanaged for a period of time.
Unmanaged like the coronavirus in the States, or the civil unrest that's happening on the streets, or unmanaged or sort of unhinged like the feds over here in Portland running amok. So wow, you know, it's weird. Priorities, man. Priorities.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing, that there's a couple of interesting things to consider about it, right? Because on face value, obviously, like if there's an app out there that is stealing and selling our data to governments that we're not, you know, friends with, I don't know why that's the phrasing that came to my mind, but you know what's happening with China. There's been a protracted trade war that Trump has waged and has been fostering the sense, even if you don't necessarily like subscribe to his particular beliefs about China and how China should be dealt with, there is this like anti-Chinese sentiment, and I think that that is now kind of being weaponized against this app. Like, I'm curious to know like more about what level of data is being mined or sold elsewhere. because it's interesting because you think about who stands to gain from TikTok being banned.
Mark Zuckerberg.
One, Mark Zuckerberg and President Trump, because he gets flamed on TikTok and people are organizing and social movements are happening and people are sharing information in a new way that does not benefit him at all. But also, if you are a user of Instagram, is it on Facebook too?
It's on, you're talking about the Instagram Reels that is just a knockoff of TikTok that they just, the same day that they announced the 45-day limit is the same day that Instagram came out with a new addition to their software, which Instagram is also a social media sharing, a photo sharing platform, that looks exactly, I mean, identical to TikTok, the Chinese app.
Yeah.
It feels very derogatory, so I'm just going to just call it the app.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something that Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg have done in the past with taking the good ideas from other apps and like folding them into Instagram. Like Instagram Stories, for example, came out of Snapchat Stories, and so now Snapchat has become, you know, has a lesser share of the market because people are able to use that same functionality in Instagram.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I don't want to like discount the risk, but it seems kind of convenient to me to try to be eliminating that stuff, and that like before the election happens, another thing is that like TikTok going away isn't the biggest deal in the world, you know, and so it's been in talks for months, right? Like there was a scare last week where, you know, he like tweeted something that he was going to ban TikTok, and it wasn't clear what grounds he was going to do it on, what basis. You can't like censor social media. We have that pretty well established at this point, or we're working on getting it established. But that it also, you know, that kind of announcement came right as the, you know, 33% GDP contraction. And so as much as like we are fans of TikTok and would not want to see it go away for, you know, all the reasons that we've said, it's also kind of like classic the Trump administration to do something splashier when something actual is happening. But that thing, the GDP contraction in this case, is a bit harder to understand for like a layperson. It's a bit, I want to say grittier. That's not really the word I'm looking for, but I think you know what I mean. It's harder. It's not as quite as digestible as the president's going to take away my favorite app.
I think I'd like to also just, you know, we were talking about Instagram and Facebook. I just want to highlight that Instagram used to be its own separate app until Facebook bought it. And it was said that there was conversation in which people from, like, officials from Instagram, when it was still its own free entity, would say that they were basically, like, strong-armed into selling to Facebook. And, I mean, even the antitrust Senate hearings, the Congress hearings, they're happening, or they just started last week. There was 5 hours, and they had Mr. Zuckerberg and Mr. Twitter and Mr. All those folks. So it's an odd timing, and you know, like we were saying yesterday, it's definitely like part of something bigger, and I think maybe it'll take us about a year or so to figure out like really what either the distraction is, and also like there was an explosion that happened in Lebanon that you know is harder to explain, you know, that is less like how you said digestible than the president's taking away your favorite app. But you know, you keep hitting it on all these different aspects, you know, and I mean, how many people can get mad, you know? I get everyone. But with that said, I think that it's just so layered and so complex, and I really want to know how things developed in this front. So I think that we are going to do the TikTok watch at least for the next few weeks. Because I think that it is, I don't see it happening. And I don't know, maybe Microsoft will buy it, but I don't. I think that it's been so tainted and kind of like, I think a lot of people are looking at it kind of sideways, you know, wondering like why is this happening, kind of asking the same questions, and is this odd timing, and then if Microsoft just picks it, it's like, oh, so just Microsoft is going to data mine our things, like, what?
Right, and just, I don't know, I mean, it's a good time to remember Cambridge Analytica, and
yes,
you know,
yes.
that Facebook was taking data, selling it to a British like analytical company, Cambridge Analytica, which was then in turn used and weaponized against American voters, spreading disinformation about the 2016 election. And that, like, that's something that, you know, all of these various government bodies have studied and confirmed, regardless of whether or not the president has agreed with them, calling that Cambridge Analytica situation like a hoax. But that's stuff that matters, and what really happened to Facebook because of that? Why
we're still seeing what's happening. There's still rolling repercussions from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the, and then just yesterday, Trump got fact-checked again on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
His like, campaign Twitter account was, like, suspended temporarily for saying untrue stuff about the coronavirus.
That is so terrifying that the administration that is currently in power. I remember, like, that, you know, I don't know, just that office having, you know, how Birdman would say, some respect on that name, you know?
Mm. It's also that. Just I think that there is sometimes arguments that you can get bogged down in, and like, oh, well, like, you know, the president wants to do this, like, that's fine. The president, like, that's what he believes. He believes that hydroxychloroquine can, like, stop coronavirus. So, like, why isn't he able to, that's free speech. Why can't he say what he wants to say? And, like, I get that, but also we're talking about, like, it's okay to ask a little bit more of the president, which is a thing that I have said on this show before. It's okay to want the president.
Keep going, yeah.
I feel like I need to reality check myself back to 2015, you know, of like, it's okay to want a president that says what's real. And that, you know, wouldn't we all like it to be true that hydroxychloroquine is the answer, and that all of the COVID stuff is overblown and actually everybody's secretly fine. But it's just not the case. It's just not, and that, you know, in a democratic society, insofar as we have one, we have to operate again on the same set of facts. We have to be able to start from that place of like, hey, here's what's happening. This is how many people died today. Don't say it is what it is.
I've heard that it is what it is. There's, it's like, oh, that's,
well, he literally said that to a reporter. Did you see that?
I love those
like,
shrugs.
I just think about when I say it is what it is in my life, it's like I am resigned to this fact. There is nothing I can do anymore. I'm not going to have any feelings or thoughts about it. You know,
I burned
my egg. My toast is burned. It is what it is. You know, like, I got to move on. That's
you
not,
made the bed, now
move
you
on. Yeah, exactly. He made the bed and he refuses to acknowledge the bed or lie on it, but he also won't like lay on the floor. I don't, whatever. I'm getting lost in the metaphor.
Well, you know, the vampires sleep standing up, just saying. That's science. That, you want some science?
Oh.
That's some science for. I got Tammy Psychology, Tammy Science. What you want? I got them all.
I thought they hung from the ceiling. Or no, that's bats. Or do they sleep in coffins? Give us a call.
That's right. This is a call-in radio talk show.
We would love for you to get into some vampire lore with us, just so we can clarify that metaphor.
All right. In Werner Herzog's telling of Das Vampir, of Nosferatu, Das Vampir, he sleeps in a coffin filled with the earth from his native land.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, the coffin is filled with dirt.
Yes.
That's nice.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
From his native land. Sleeping at... Oh, that's... I like that.
He's not standing up.
It's not. Who's standing up?
Is that a thing?
Horses?
Horses. It's horses.
Horses. That's what I was thinking about. My bad. I was thinking about horses.
Like horses and cows and stuff.
Vampire horses.
There we go. That's
they sleep standing up in a coffin filled with soil from their native land.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, this is that.
I've got a good mental
right
image
here.
Of that.
Yeah, exactly. It seems the most natural way for a horse to sleep, to be honest. Yeah. There's a lot of conversations going on here. Now the imagery is just in my head, and I can't stop seeing it.
It's funny. It's a good image. Why isn't Vampire Horse's story being told? That's what I want to know.
And that's your new crossover, like preteen, fan fiction right there. Well, not fan fiction. That's something else.
We'll try to get it published, obviously. I fell in love with the Vampire Horse.
Aw, it's like a Tina Belcher move. I like that.
It is kind of Tina Belcher.
Well, her thing is zombies. Horses and zombies.
Yeah, she likes zombies. We could pitch it to her as undead.
As a Tina Belcher, if you're listening, you can call on in and let us know
how you
feel about
If anybody has a Tina Belcher impression.
I'd love to hear it.
Opening the floodgates now. That's pretty good. I can't quite pitch it right. I'm not going to try, but...
We're having fun.
Sorry, save the phone number.
I mean, I don't. How can you compete with that one? 503-231-8187 is the phone number. We have a couple of questions for folks out here or out anywhere, and we'd like your opinions about some local happenings and doings and changings that are occurring. I wonder if we could, should we cut to a music break or should we just go on ahead, Althea? What you say?
Maybe let's do a quick music break, see if anybody wants to call and talk, and then we can kind of move on to our next topic.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Sonia, you have that midway music?
We'll be back in a
second. I do indeed. This is called The Message. Meanwhile, give us a call at 8503-231-8187. Pitch in on the what are we talking about? TikTok? Vampire horses?
Mark Zuckerberg, yeah.
The hearings have been crazy. Have you heard those hearings? It was 5 hours and I watched it all. It was five hours of my life that I'll never get back. And it's like for some reason folks feel like they don't have to answer any questions. And these things, and this is what gets me, and I told you this yesterday, and we'll cut into the music break next, is that all the content that's on these platforms, from Uber to Facebook to Instagram to TikTok to Twitter to whatever the heck, they don't do anything. It's the people that create the content. We are creating content and enjoying each other's content, you know? So, yeah, why wouldn't people be shaking in the boots? From Mark to Hollywood, who are, you know, now shut down and can't produce anything. So it's like we're all entertaining ourselves and creating these, you know, different dance moves and playing around and just being creative as heck, or, you know, like sharing gardening advice and things like that. So, of course, the people are going to try to take advantage of that because they see how much we enjoy each other. And then there's the whole aspect of the coronavirus. And then there's, you know, so we're isolated, so we're trying to keep in touch. And it's going to breed something of its own. And, you know, you said something along the lines of, you know, trying to, like, figure out, like, the legalities around things. Like, there, you know, the rules are changing constantly because it's the Wild West. It's completely uncharted territory. And there are things on social media platforms and the internet that are just, like, horrible, you know, that need to be, like, taken off. But, you know, once you give, you know, a company or organization or branch of some sort of something that power, where does it stop?
Well, it could stop with we the people nationalizing these resources for our own use, for our own benefit. And we can just cut out the middleman entirely and not allow private profiteers to enrich themselves on our backs at our expense.
They're interesting. I feel you on that. There's, you know, we can just keep going and have a whole episode about this. That's, you know, we're trying to hone it down for a couple of minutes, and look at us now, half an hour in. But it's beyond just like the funny dance move and all that. It's, you're right. It goes back to like the power of the people, from the content we create to now having it being, you know, like taken away. You know, but there's still like, who's going to be the one that are going to be taking, like, you know, like smut things off the internet? I don't want to do it. I don't want to be horrified like that. You know, there's some regulations that need to be in foot. And then you have the whole deep web, and it's like just, you know, I'm completely ignorant about that. But I don't have kids right now, but like, you know, if that's something that, you know, happens, you know, in the future, like, I probably wouldn't want them on social media. And is that, you know, so it makes me wonder, like, am I just totally just being a hypocrite at this point? Like, I enjoy it so much, but I see how it's changed from when I was younger and to what it is now, like in its infancy, to what it is now. And it's like, I have to, you know, it's like you'll accidentally mess up your algorithms and just get into a whole world reckoning. I can go on and on. It's dangerous if you don't know how to use it. Because think of, like, between the misinformation, you know, let's say you're into sewing, but you could end up, like, being, you know, somewhat swayed in one way or another, because somehow now sewing is attributed by Cambridge Analytica to voting somehow. And now you're going to be seeing all this propaganda in your face that you're like, what is this? I didn't want to, I'm trying to sew.
Right.
Yes. So let's go to that. I'm sorry, that was my only rant for the day. I'm sorry.
Shall we front load the next couple topics?
All right, we can. I guess we're just not going to do that musical break, and I don't mind about it.
Well, I mean, we front load it and then go to the music, and people can start thinking about it and then start calling while the music plays.
All right, sure thing. All right. So there's a couple of questions we want to put out there. I want to just start with the one. So University of Oregon and Oregon State University are going to change they know how they have a game, which used to be called the Civil War, because, you know, it's like brothers against brothers, because it's, you know, they're both Oregon schools. I get it. But they want to change the name because they find it that it's disrespectful. And, basically because of the times, the way that things are and the climate and the fact that other teams are doing the same, they want to change the name. And I was wondering, what do y'all, you know, as Oregonians, locals, think that the school, the game should be called? It can't be called the Big Game, because that's like Stanford or something.
Berkeley. That's the secret name for the Super Bowl.
Because sports.
Networks can't say the Super Bowl without paying out for the name.
You say Super Bowl, I think Beyonce.
I went down a whole rabbit hole about this. People are overdramatic about who can and can't say the Super Bowl. Anyway.
Gotcha. But
can we incorporate vampire horses? I'm kind of curious. Would love your thoughts, the listeners.
So we'd love to hear, like, your, you know, two cents about what you think it could be called, you can call in at 503-231-8187. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is Althea, and in the studio is Sonia. This is The Gap. You can mind it, you can bridge it, but we'll be there with you. Here's a little musical break.
And so, you know, you brought up the Washington, D.C.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a half. But such a dash to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much.
Grandmaster Flash with the message. You're listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Tammy, on the line with me is a vivacious Althea Billings, and in the studio is Sonia.
I wanted to give you a pitch.
Oh, go ahead.
A pitch for the name of what the new football game between the Oregon University and Oregon State University.
The Ducks and the Beavers.
How does this capture you? The Ducks and the Beavers. The Pond Battle. Battle of the Pond. Does that do anything for you?
I love it. So much. I love it. I'm here for it. Sonia, what do you think?
Showdown at the estuary.
Oh,
the estuary. I love that.
I love both. This is so good. Sonia, do we have any callers?
Not yet. But no, it's
no
like
problem.
Within a week of moving to Eugene, I went to the big the Delta Park there. It's like the Willamette does all these crazy branches, and the McKenzie does as well, and they all kind of interweave in this really funky way. And we have they even make the Willackenzie River at one point. And I saw a nutria come out of there.
Nutrias are so weird.
Yes, I thought that's a pretty big beaver. Oh my God, it has like a rat tail. What the hell is this thing? And it was kind of like crowding out the ducks and geese that people were trying to, as people were trying to like toss bread and stuff. And now we know you're not supposed to do that, but people do it anyway. But then it's so like, there's this nutria comes up and yeah, it just blew my mind. I'd never heard of one before, but there's also, you know, we have like the ducks and the beavers. I'm going to call it the platypus game.
Because that's emerging.
That's
too,
good
emerging
too.
Of, but yeah, I like that.
I've heard the term platypus is people who like Oregonians who won't take a side. You know, ducks or beavers.
Yeah.
You know, so they call themselves platypus.
I want to add one thing about nutrias, because I just really, it's one of those things. You know how people complain is like, why didn't they teach us in school? Why didn't I learn how to balance a checkbook? You know, why didn't they tell me about nutrias? Because I saw one before I knew what it was.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah. I was like, what is this?
Were you just terrified?
I was like, is it an otter? No, it's like a big rat that can swim. Like, what is it doing? What is that? Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, everything I've led, I've been led to believe, this isn't a capybara. It's not that part of the world. It's not a beaver. Like, what is that? What happened to that rat? Is it okay?
Like, for all we know, it's like the dodos could still be alive. It's just no one told us.
Yeah. Why didn't anybody tell me about it? And that's just kind of, you know, some hard fought wisdom of learning what a nutria is.
Well, it may be useful to have had that feeling of encountering something and having no idea what it is or where it came from or how it got there.
Yeah,
that's pretty rare, you know, because like in this like there are no frontiers left on dry land. I mean, the majority of the ocean we've never seen. No human has ever been to. That's because it will kill you within minutes if you try to go there, unless right. you have a whole lot of very expensive and highly advanced equipment. So, like, for the common person, there are no frontiers left. And so it's can be that's a feeling that I don't think I would have had I already known about Nutria. Mm-hmm. Nutria. My first Nutria sighting, having never heard of such a thing, let alone having seen it. That's something like perhaps I can value that experience that I would not have had otherwise.
Well, and maybe we shouldn't tell people to Google it just on the off chance that they have it. I had like a moment where, like in cartoons when like a cartoon character can't believe something and they like rub their eyes. That's what I had. But then you're like, huh, what do I know? I need to figure out what their attributes are so I know what to Google.
You could have the...
That's adorable.
The 1950s TV trope with like the wino in the alley like looks at the bottle and the paper bag in his hand, looks at whatever he's seeing and looks at the bag again and then like throws the bottle away.
Yeah, that's good too. Tammy, have you ever seen a nutria?
I've a nutria, I don't even know her. No, I've been holding out sitting on that for a while. I do have a name for and are a little confused about what our subject is right now. We're talking about the Oregon State not using Civil War for their rivalry game, and so we were thinking of different names that game should be. Apparently, the big game is the football. What do you call it? The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
It's not Super Bowl. It's Super
Bowl.
I did not know that.
It's a superb owl.
Whole time. Huh.
Superb owl, yeah. If anybody wants to call in and tell us why football games are called bowls, I would love to know.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Like, all the college games are called that.
The Rose Bowl?
Yeah, the Sugar Bowl.
I guess the one in Washington is called the Apple Cup, but that's different.
I thought cups were tennis and golf.
Sonia, what was your name for the game, for the replacing name?
The platypus game.
The platypus game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what was yours.
And you also said showdown at the estuary. Mine was Battle of the Pond.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like the river games.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds fun. I don't know. It just sounds so fun. I love showdown at the estuary. Mm-hmm. But if people are listening and you're like, I have a name, then you can call on in at 503-231-8187, and we'd love to hear your name. We're all doing like these splish splash names. I like it because sport. You get splish splash when you're sporting around and running and
Well.
Apparently,
it's
one
like
of the
both
names
teams,
that they're considering. Oh,
both
ahead.
Teams are splish splashy. The mascots are splish splashy type critters. Ducks and beavers.
Right, because they're ducks and beavers. That's just so cute. I love that. What was the name that they were suggesting, Ophia?
One of the names they were suggesting is the Turf War. Turf. TURF.
Like how cats like have, or like West Side Story.
like West Side Story, which I will say does kind of bring in, the rivalry aspect of the prior name. Apparently it has some history with what's gone on between the teams in this game. One team burned the other's turf at one point.
Ooh.
And that caused a stir sometime in the past. As you can tell, I'm not super well versed in the history of the rivalry between the two major Oregon universities. But that's one that folks are considering as well.
Was it actual players or just, students, rambunctious students from the respective schools?
I can look it up.
this is that's what happens in college. Things get things get turfy. You know, like in all those old school movies when they like steal the mascot.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like little ducks and beavers. So cute.
When it's middle class white people, it's high spirits.
Right. Oh God.
Also, I'm not a big fan of the whole idea like of having an animal as your mascot. Like, I don't know, what is it, like the school's pet? Is it like, what's the deal? Who takes care of it? Does it live on a farm before, like,
they're when cartoons.
It's not? They're cartoons.
Yeah, the Oregon duck is a ripoff of Donald Duck, and the OSU beaver is just, you know, just a drawing of a beaver. I've never seen. I lived in Eugene for a year, and I never saw, like, a actual duck, you know, like, on. I never saw a UO duck, you know, like an actual mascot, like wearing a little green and yellow, you know, vest or anything. I didn't go to any games.
It seems like they'd be a hard animal to get to be in sort of that kind of environment.
You mean wearing,
like they'd be kind of skittish. It was that
like
loud.
To put an outfit on a duck.
I think that's what Sonia was saying.
I'm saying I never saw a duck in a little, like an actual duck in a little like green and yellow
I understand
vest or anything.
Saying. Okay. I totally imagined them just hanging out at like the local bar or something, just, you know, splashing around. But I'm trying to think of something, like a duck fur reference for it, or like the last game at the fur, but that's, I went real Clint Eastwood with it. I don't know, the showdown, I like that. I like it.
I think showdown is good. Face off is cool. Just trying to think of, I want alliteration, you know, like,
yeah.
I
went with showdown because I couldn't think of anything like that that started with an E, because, you know, I really wanted the alliteration with the estuary, but I came up blank, so I just went with showdown. But I noticed that
just
this comes
like...
up. Do we know, is this in response to the renewed focus on the relative unimportance attached to the lives of Black people?
Yeah.
And like,
so...
you know, kind of a bank shot off of all the taking down of Confederate monuments and stuff. And so people are looking again at things referring to the Civil War. Because I don't see how changing the nickname of a football game is college football game is going to stop police from murdering Black people.
Well, you know, we in the last few minutes that we have, we'll just go ahead and give the whole 360 for you. So indeed, the Oregon State president said that, you know, they are doing so, you know, going on with this, along with other important actions and advance equal opportunity and justice for all, and in recognition that Black lives matter. That was a quote direct from them. So it is because of the political climate and how all these institutions are looking back and looking into the future also and seeing what they can do in the now to change it. Same with AP style. For those of you who are not familiar, it's AP. There's the AP style of writing in journalism, and then there's the not Washington Times. I always say that the New York Times style of writing. So the AP changed their writing style to capitalize the B in Black. Now, you know, I have my own opinions about that, and I, you know, would have to echo your sentiment, Sonia, as to say, what does that actually do? Like, that's a good gesture, but what does that actually do in the day-to-day lives of these people that you are trying to so-called advocate for or are advocating in your own way that, in my opinion, it doesn't really quite do anything? But then... Althea, and we have that interview that you did with Jacqueline Keeler, who is...
Yeah, I can...
Oh,
Yeah, so
I can introduce it if you want.
Sure, but this interview came, or you know, Althea had this interview, and I wanted to use it on the show because we were talking about, you know, I was saying these seem like basically meaningless gestures, empty gestures. They were talking about the Washington football team changing their name, and yeah, so Althea, go on ahead with that intro.
Yeah, just a little backstory. Jacqueline Keeler is a writer and Native activist who co-founded Eradicating Offensive Native Masketry, and I interviewed her recently about that D.C. football team changing its name, and here's a quick clip of that. You know, you brought up the Washington, D.C. football team, and they just recently announced that they're going to change their name and mascot after years of pressure to do so. What is the importance of making that change?
Well, the main importance is that it is, you know, what it means to children. You know, I think that one of the things I did, I was on 2014, I was on All In with Chris Hayes on MSNBC, and you can see that video. The organization that launched the hashtag is called Eradicating Offensive Native Masketry. And in that interview, I'm on that interview with Congresswoman Eleanor Norton Holmes, and I really go through a lot of the research that had been done up to that point. And the term masketry itself, I coined that to sort of, because people were like, you know, well, what's wrong with this? This is a handsome warrior. How could you be offended by that? And actually, that's not the problem. The problem is all the things they do with the mascot. And so, you know, masketry is kind of like minstrelsy, or, you know, the sort of thing where it's performance of identity that promotes stereotypes, and studies show primarily negative stereotypes. And they affect not only Native people, but it promotes negative stereotypes about other ethnic and racial groups in this country. And so it has no place in a pluralistic society. So, but yeah, the research done by Dr. Stephanie Freiberg, she's a researcher out of Stanford. She's the Tulalip tribal member from Washington State. And what she found was that Native youth exposed to mascots experienced a decline in self-esteem. And in the case of Native youth who claimed they were okay with Native mascots, they experienced the steepest decline in self-esteem. And not only that, but she found that, that it made it harder for them to believe they could achieve their dreams, to even have dreams. Because it tells you that you're not part of society, you know, and so, you know, the price of the sort of pastime of America is being paid by Native youth yet again, as is the cost of the American dream. I mean, Native youth and Native people have the worst outcomes of any ethnic racial group, bar none. We have the highest murder rate, highest suicide rates, highest rape rates. You know, and it's just, this is the price of the American dream. There still is a fatality count, right? A casualty count in this war, in this occupation, this ongoing occupation of our homeland.
That was Jacqueline Keeler, who's a writer and Native activist. I spoke to her recently about the Washington, D.C. football team changing its name. And as you can hear, that there is... There is research done out there about what kind of impact that can have.
It was something that, you know, it's when you've been affected by things for so long, it's really easy to be cynical with things and kind of forget, well, you know, when I was in college, I definitely saw some offensive things, or, you know, growing up in like the D.C. Maryland area, Lee High School, like, you know, these Confederate names are, you know, are very normal. There's the Civil War past, so seeing all these things, but I you know, remember like being uneasy about it. But once you've developed callous your skin a little bit, callous your heart, you know, and, you know, armored up, you maybe forget, you know, you say, oh, it's not important, it's whatever, but you forget that, you know, baby Tammy at a certain time saw that, and you know, yeah, it affects people negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So so it's cool to, you know, be, you know, I studied AP style and, you know, in college. So now to like see that is pretty kind of amazing, you know, and maybe in a way I'm a little bit like, well, why didn't they do that when I was around? You know, I guess mm-hmm. it's there a little bit.
Right. And I think, like, to sort of speak to what you and Sonia were mentioning before, we heard that clip that, like, changing the name of this stuff isn't enough, obviously. It isn't, you know, changing AP style, adding in, you know, that black is going, when we reference black as a race, it's going to be with a capital B. And changing the names of these various, like, football things, which I didn't realize football was going to come up so much today. But I think the way that I see it is, like, it's not enough. And I think that you're hard pressed to say that there is, like, a direct, like, that there is a direct impact there in terms of, like, that this made things better materially. But I sort of see it as, like, we're raising the floor of what we're doing. That, hey, we're just actually not going to have the conversation anymore in terms of, like, AP style, which determines how journalists, like, the minutia of how journalists write, that we're actually just not going to engage with that anymore, and that it needs to be, this is the standard now. And that there's, not to say that it's the floor, not the ceiling, you know, like, there's still a long way to go, still a lot of things that all of these various organizations can do, whether you're the Washington, D.C. football team, who arguably should probably give reparations to Native groups in this country for using that them as, like, an offensive mascot for so long, but that this is the floor. We're actually not going to get bogged down in those conversations anymore.
I really like that, that it's the floor, not the ceiling. During these times, I'm definitely going to keep that phrase with me, because thank you for that.
I don't put the same critique of how is this going to stop the injustices. I don't apply that to the Washington football team the way I do to the UO OSU game.
Right.
Because that's the DC, the Washington football team thing is far more direct. You know, that's
right,
a racial
right.
slur, an ethnic slur used right in the team name, and that's
so
the deleterious effect
slur?
Of doing that, and hence the benefit of ending that is far more apparent and far more direct.
So does it need to be an ethnic slur for it to be a problem? Is that where does it have to be, like, the Civil War, let's get those N-words, let's get them slaves? Like, what do you mean? The Civil War, maybe not for you, Sonia, but for me, like, yeah, it does perpetuate some sort of something. It's like, ooh, that means that someone here doesn't want that. I mean...
Point taken.
Although I can, you know, I... But it's that's just my opinion. I'm sorry, Sonia. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you and everything that you do.
I think there's, like, a scale of severity, but it doesn't necessarily discount that things are, that, like, prioritize the ones that are on the highest of severity, obviously. But, like, if you're on the scale at all,
mm-hmm.
get off.
I still would like when the like AP standard staff. You know, my question is, how many capital black employees do y'all have on the standard staff? You know, you know, maybe is that the ceiling? Is that raising the floor? You know, that's, and it wasn't a a white dude, you know, sending out the message about we're going to capitalize it, and it was there is room.
That may be the more relevant question, is like, who's making the decisions and why? You know, it's like, as far as whether or not to rename the, you know, the Oregon rivalry game, it's who is going to decide whether or not to rename it, or who decided to rename it, and for what reason? And like, who's got the input? For what reason are they being included, and what reasons do they have for the decisions they take? And it's like, when I try to kind of get people, get cishet people to think more critically and usefully about LGBTQ issues, and like, it's not only what's being said, but who's saying it and why they're saying it.
Yeah, the motivations behind it. Especially during these times, you know,
are people just thinking about the future and they don't want to look back and be like, oh, we should have done this while everyone was doing it, because now we're getting all of these attracting people that we don't want, or are attracting more extremists just because things are, I mean, this is kindling. These are kindled times, and just the smallest spark. And I realize we're out of time. Oh, man, we should just keep going and going, but alas, there's some great cable programming coming up next. Like always, this is The Gap. We're minding it, we're bridging it, we're paying attention to it. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is Althea, and in studio is Sonia. Sonia, thank you so much for all that you do.
Oh,
Althea, thank you.
Thanks, Tammy.
And hope that you all have a great weekend. Take care. We run this.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's such a good track. Let's hear it again.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Welcome to the Got Science podcast. I'm your host, Colleen McDonald. Today we're checking in on hurricane season. What was forecast?